Well, praise the Lord. I really appreciate being here. I'm very thankful that Pastor Daniel and Sister Sarah, I mean, I came to their house just for a little visit, and they ambushed me. And it was a good ambush, though. And it gave me the opportunity to be here today. And I want to pick up on what we've already heard from the Lord so far, actually. I just want to say this. I have a few preliminary things that I want to say about this week. But I want to start by saying this. You know, that song that we just sang, that last song that we just sang, you know, hold fast to me and do not let me go. You know, that comes from the Song of Solomon. And the Shulamite, prior to saying that, could not find him. That's the context there. She couldn't find him. She went out looking for him, and she couldn't find him. When she found him, she held fast, and she would not let him go. And you know something? This year, in about May-ish of this year, I celebrated my 40th anniversary of being a Christian. Aren't you going to congratulate me? Thank you. Thank you. But I will say this here. I'm not standing here because I had the strength to endure all the trials and tribulations. There's something that God put within me from the very beginning where I reached out and I held him and I wouldn't let him go. It wasn't for skill. It wasn't for understanding. It wasn't for, you know, any talent that I possessed. Only one singular thing that was in my spirit. I'm not going to let him go. I am not going to let him go. I found something, and I'm not going to let him go. I'm not going to let him go. You know, I tell my daughters frequently, you girls grew up in a Christian home. And so daddy made you go to church. I have little girls. You know, daddy made you go to church. But you know something? Nobody made me go to church. I chose to go to church. When I got saved, my darkness turned into light. And when I found that answer, I said, I'll hold fast and I'm not going to let him go. I am not going to let him go. There were people early on in my life. Now, I'm going back to when I was 17 years old. So if you can do the math, you know how old I am. I, at that time, you know, I was in darkness. I don't mean to say that in a very a casual way that I was in darkness before I got saved. No, I was in darkness. I was in darkness. The kind of darkness where you don't feel like you're going to make it. The kind of darkness where you feel your whole world is collapsing and life has no meaning. I was going to share this later in the week, but somehow I feel, you know, led to bring this in here. You know, when I was about 5, 6 years old, I drowned and I had to be resuscitated, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. And I remember the cold, dark moment when I realized, that's it. Frank is over. 6 years old, I'm thinking, my life is over. I know it's a heavy opening. I'm very sorry for that. But my life is over. And when I was dragged to the shore and I was resuscitated, I had damage in my face because I hit the bottom, but I had to be resuscitated. And as I was coming to, there was a horror of darkness, that gloom that covered me. And life meant nothing to me because I thought, here I am 5, 6 years old and I almost drowned and my life would have no meaning whatsoever. There's no way I can explain to an individual the darkness, the cold that was associated with that. And I lived my life as a young man angry because life had no meaning whatsoever. And then when I found Christ, you bet I held fast. And I would not let him go. And the reason I'm standing here today is because of that transformation that took place back then. Hold fast to him. Sometimes I scream, I'll warn you. Hold fast to him and do not let him go. He's your life. There is nothing else out there like him. Hold fast to him and don't let him go. And the one singular thing throughout my entire life, all of the mistakes, all of the pitfalls, all of the terrible disasters that took place in my life, there's one salient thing that keeps me standing. I got a hold of something that's real. I tasted something real. Hold fast to him and do not let him go. But remember the context of that. She was looking and she couldn't find him. You know, searching sometimes is very discouraging, isn't it? It's very discouraging. Now, I should let you know, I had a PowerPoint presentation to present tonight, but I told Brian to pull the plug on it because we might go a different direction. I didn't approve it through Daniel first, so maybe he can talk to me later. But maybe this might be my last showing here. But at any rate, what I want to say to the group is this. You know, I had somebody say this to me one time. They said, I prayed and nothing happened. Well, that's where the Shulamite was. She was looking and nothing was happening. She looked for him. She ran throughout the city and she's looking for him. And she couldn't find him. And then all of a sudden she finds him. And now she realizes the value. And she will not let him go. That's what that song's talking about. That's what the text is talking about. That's exactly what it's saying. Hold fast to me and do not let me go. Because one of the things that we have come to realize, and this is a critical message for this group here, because one of the things in those 40 years that I've been a Christian, what I've seen is people come into the church, people go out. People come in, people go out. And over time, your heart becomes so drained and so frustrated. And you think to yourself, what's the secret? Well, I think in part the secret is hold fast to him and don't let him go. You know, weaknesses abound. We all have weaknesses. You know, we have ups and we have downs. We have times when we feel like we're spiritual giants. Hopefully this week you'll feel like a spiritual giant, right? But then you're going to leave here. It's interesting that it's downhill out of here, isn't it? Because you go down into the world, don't you? You go down into the world, and then you've got to live in the mucky muck of the world. But the hope and the desire that I have and the burden that I have for this week is, you know, that we would cover things that are going to strengthen your walk so that you can hold fast to him and not let him go. Now, obviously, we are not going to cover the entire gospel message and everything else. But, you know, I have this assurance in my spirit as we were worshiping this evening here. I have this assurance in my spirit that God has delivered, or will deliver, I should say, a portion to each of you. Not everything we say over the next 4 days will be for you, but there's going to be something. And that's something that resonates with you, that's something that speaks to you, that's something that, you know, is kind of a buoy in the midst of the storm for you. Hold fast to it and don't let it go. Don't let it evaporate. You know, I remember in my younger days, and I was younger one time, I remember in my younger days, don't let the beard and the, you know, the hair fool you. I was younger. But in my younger days, 18, 19, 20 years old, for some of you, that's the older days, but for me, that's the younger days at this point, at this side of the scale. I remember going to the conventions, and you know something? They were my life. The conventions were my life. I took time off work, and I went to the conventions because I knew that when I went to the convention, I was going to hear from God. I felt awful blow when I got there, and maybe it took the first day or so to finally break the, you know, the ice and get to hearing from God. But the things that were imparted to me at that time, they were life to me. I held fast to them, and I took them home with me. And they were strength for me until the next convention. And then I would get some more. And then eventually, you know, God began to do things in my life whereby I didn't need the convention anymore because I have a beautiful, outside of my bedroom, I have a beautiful Queen Anne's chair. Does everybody know what a Queen Anne's chair is? It's okay if you don't. Most of the time I use this illustration, people have no idea what I'm talking about. Queen Anne's chair, what is that? It's a high back chair that sits outside of my bedroom, and now I get everything I need in that chair. But it wasn't so in the beginning. It wasn't. And so my burden and my desire, you know, for this particular series of meetings here is that somehow in our spirit we would leave with this resonating within our hearts. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Isn't that wonderful? I've had so many people leave me and forsake me throughout my life. People that you trust, people that you put your confidence in. We even heard that tonight prophetically, didn't we? And yet, here's one who will never leave you and forsake you. I was looking at, examining a person's life one time, and I was looking at them, and I was seeing all the mistakes that they were making. And every time they made a mistake, God would give them another chance. Now, God is infinitely more patient than I am, and I would say, Lord, wow, how many times are you going to give this person another chance? And what the Lord spoke to me was this. He said, you don't know how bad hell is. I'll give him as many chances as he needs. See, this is the idea. Not that we want to take as many chances as possible. That's not my point. My point is this. You know, we can be at a vulnerable time in our life. We can make, you know, good choices. We can make bad choices. But the thing is, even in the midst of it all, God will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always in the mode or in the mood to restore, to build up, to strengthen, and to give us the ability to hold fast and never let him go. Would you believe that I haven't even started my message yet, Pastor Dan? Might be a long night, folks. Just kidding. I'm going to stay within my 4-hour limit. Some of you haven't heard me preach before. There's going to be more of those. Now, I want to turn to a verse with you. I have a translation that's different than perhaps what they have for the overhead, but I'm going to read it to you in the New English Translation. In John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 4, of course, John chapter 15 is all about abiding in the vine. But this first part of the verse here, it says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. And this is the spirit of what we're saying. You know, hold fast him and do not let him go. Remain in him. You know, there is so much out there that's titillating in this world, so much that's fascinating, so much that's exciting and vibrant. But it's all a lie. It's ridiculous, as a matter of fact. It's all a trap. The secret is to remain in him. I stand here tonight, you know, after 40 years of serving him, simply because he's given me grace to remain in him, to stay in him, to stay attached to him. You know, he is your life. He is your life's blood. And as we progress through the week, one of the things that I felt a tremendous burden to share with you folks is, you know, the necessity of hearing from him and how desperately, desperately God wants to speak to you. And I think that to a large extent, I think the reason why after all these years I still remain in him is because he speaks. There's something imparted in the voice of God. There's a grace that's imparted. Now, in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 2, we see the reason it's essential that we remain in him. It says in verse 15, verse 2, he takes away every branch that does not bear fruit in me. He prunes every branch that bears fruit so that it will bear more fruit. Now, in simplest terms, it simply means this. If you prune trees, the first branches to go are the ones that don't bear fruit. Well, we already know that in order to bear fruit, we have to abide in him. And when we talk about bearing fruit, we're simply talking about some level of spiritual growth in our lives. God wants to develop things. And the important thing is that we can't bear that fruit unless we remain in him. Hold fast to him and do not let him go. Whatever revelation you have of him today, whatever knowledge you have of him today, is the stepping stone to the next place in him. You got to hold fast to that and do not let it go, because it's your life. It's your salvation. It's the building block to the next thing that God wants to do in your life. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, mark out a straight path for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall but become strong. Okay, it's not all going to be just a matter of what Jesus does for us. We also have to be careful about the steps that we take. That's part of the message as well. Make straight paths for your feet. Make straight paths for your feet. And we'll talk more about this. This is really is kind of just an introduction here. But at the end of all of we're saying is this. I want you to understand something. I want every one of you to understand something. That all of us have strengths and all of us have weaknesses. That's not a revelation. That's not a new thing. And so I know in my younger days when, you know, I would struggle with certain things in my life and I would condemn myself and I would say, how can God still love me? I have this weakness. How can God still love me? But what we need to come away with is understand is this, is that God understands the weakness of man. But God is continually working and building in us in order that those weaknesses may diminish and we may become strong. You know, I wasn't strong in the beginning. I don't know that I'm strong now, actually, to be honest with you. I'm stronger than I was, we'll say. We'll make it a scale here. But the only way to gain that strength is to hold fast to him and don't let him go. Hold fast to him. Let me, that all was by way of introduction. Let me just give you kind of a rundown on how we want to cover the messages this week here. Tonight, day one, is it all pertains to strengthening our walk. All of these messages, all the things that we bring out are in the context of finding grace and finding strength for our walk, improving our experience with God. Hold fast to him and do not let him go. You know, in the beginning, when I first made a commitment to Christ when I was 17, there were all kinds of people around me that were saying, yeah, you know, I give it 6 months. I mean, you know, Frank. And they did. They knew me. That's the problem with being around people that know you. They knew me. They said, that's Frank. I give it 6 months. And you know what that did in me? I'll tell you what it did in me. It made me angry. But it made me angry in the right way. Is there a right way to be angry? Yes, there's a right way to be angry. There's a right way to hate. There's a right way to be angry. It made me angry, and I said, I'm not going to let go. And their taunting and their, you know, naysaying and them saying it was only going to last about 6 months produced something within me that said, I'm going to prove them wrong. Now, that may be a very carnal thing, but at the time it worked. I'm going to prove them wrong. I'm going to hold fast. And then somebody came one day to me, a Christian came to me, and they said, so what's God speaking to you? What do you mean? What do you mean, what's God speaking to me? I don't know. What do you mean, what's God speaking to you? And he told me. And I'm like, wait a minute. God speaks to you? God says things to you? And he said, yeah. He said, if he's not speaking to you, I'm not sure that you're a believer either. What? Don't say that to people, by the way. But then what I began to realize is, if I was going to make this thing work, I needed to hear his voice. And you know something? I don't care how old you are. I was at a camp meeting one time, and an 8-year-old boy stood for 45 minutes and prophesied. An 8-year-old boy stood and prophesied for 45 minutes. And the fear of God fell in that place. Well, this young fellow prophesied. And then he fell down in the spirit, and he prophesied for another 15 or 20 minutes. So there's no restriction. There's no limitation. God wants to speak to all of his children. God wants to speak to all of us. So the first day tonight, we're going to talk about strengthening your walk through faith. Faith is how we accomplish things. Faith is the vehicle whereby everything is accomplished. And in the process of God speaking to you, what he is going to do is impart faith. And we'll get into a definition of faith. We'll help with an understanding, because I think faith is kind of misunderstood today, so we want to make sure that it is understood completely. The second day tomorrow, strengthen your walk with God through hearing from God. If you don't get anything else out of this week, and I know you will, we always say things like that because it's, you know, it makes an emphasis here. If you don't get anything out of this week other than this, get this one thing. God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to every single one of you. The secret of your longevity is going to be in the voice of the Lord. It's critical. If you're going to hold fast him and not let him go, you know, it's going to be through the things that he speaks to you. And that's a wonderful gift, to hear God's voice And we'll talk more about that tomorrow night. Day three is going to be relative to finding God's favor. You know something? I learned something very early on in life. And actually, my father taught it to me, who was not a God-fearing man. The secret to life in my home was doing what my father said. Things got very complicated when I started to disobey. And I tried that out a few times and it didn't work out real well. My father was quick at bringing us, reining us in. But you know something? In our relationship with the Lord, if we do those things which are right in His eyes, then there is a force, the Holy Spirit, angelic force as well, that actually holds us into the right path. Doing what's right in the eyes of the Lord has an unintended consequence. You do it because it's the right thing, but the unintended consequence is, as a result, God keeps you in the path. And so we can't extricate coming stronger in the Lord from doing the right thing. And so finding God's favor, and it might not be as difficult as you think. And then day four, the last day here, something that most people perhaps don't consider, but taking a stand for Jesus also strengthens you. It strengthens you. Actually, one of the pieces of the armor is the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, it strengthens our walk when we share Jesus. Now, you know, in different settings, I mean, you have different, all kinds of different settings that you're in, and we want to talk about the right way and the wrong way to share your faith. In other words, I worked with a woman who's a Christian one time, and you know, her way of witnessing was when somebody talked about a movie that they went to see that night, she would condemn the movie and say, "Oh, I would never. I'm a Christian. I would never go see that movie." And that's probably not the right approach. I don't think that they get warmed up over that kind of thing. But nevertheless, in small ways, in small, simple little ways, as you share your faith, you strengthen your walk. You strengthen your walk. And so we want to talk about that on day four. And so tonight we want to look at the idea of strengthening your walk with God through faith. As we mentioned already, faithful is He that calls you who also will do it. Now, what that means is this, is that in the end, it's not really us that's doing it at all, is it? It's God. God is the one that's directing it. God is the one that's speaking. God is the one who's touching us. When we felt His presence tonight, that was God, who also will do it. Faithful He who's called you, who also will do it. You find many times, really, the secret to success is just saying yes, because God's doing all the work. And I find comfort in that. But I want to turn with you to the book of Hebrews, if you turn there with me. And I want to take a little time here to develop this thought of faith. Faith, faith, faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 in the King James Version, the authorized version, I might add, it says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And that is, without question, the best definition of faith that we have in the Scriptures. And yet, it can be ambiguous and hard to understand. It can be difficult to understand. What is that really saying? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so I want to bring a couple of additional words in here. I want to change a few of these words validly. Validly, that's not really the right word, is it? Accurately, whatever the case, maybe you get the idea. I want to say that they're in other translations. They have different. It's not just Frank changing the words. In other translations, it reads differently. In the American Standard Version, it says this: "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and it is the conviction of things that are not seen." Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So what does that mean? Well, if you think of an assurance, what is an assurance? You know, when Peter saw Jesus walking on the water, and Peter asked a question that only Peter could ask, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And I wish I wish I was there. I would love to have seen it. I would love to have been Peter at that moment. He said, Lord, if that's you, then bid me to come. And Jesus gave him the assurance, come. And that's what it means. Faith is an assurance. You know, when you do something, when you hear something from the Lord, it's an assurance that comes from him. And it is the conviction. So not only is it the assurance, but somehow it beats in your chest. It becomes a conviction. No. This is the way it is. You know, someone comes to me and they say, oh, you know, this Jesus, you know, that's all farce. That's for children and old women. Somebody actually said that to me one time. I said, wow, man, I envy those children and old women. This Jesus thing, you know, what is that all about? But you have the assurance that you've been born again. But more than just the assurance, you've got the conviction. And you've got to have those, the assurance and the conviction. My cousins came to me after I accepted the Lord to try and, you know, get me back. They lost me. They're trying to get me back. And so, you know, they're having all these different arguments and all these different, you know, criticisms, I guess you would say. But you know something? There was an assurance in me and a conviction in me that couldn't be shaken. Hold fast to him. Don't let him go. You see, faith is connected to holding fast, because you've got the assurance and you've got the conviction. You've got the assurance that you have gotten a hold of something very special, and you've got the conviction that won't let you let it go, that you hold fast to it. Faith is wonderful. Faith is exciting. Faith is thrilling. I sit in my high back chair, we'll call it, and I begin to seek the Lord, and I begin to pray, and God begins to speak to me, and I'm thrilled. I thrill at it. Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were the joy and rejoicing of my heart. You know, faith is thrilling. Faith is thrilling. It ought to be thrilling, because it's God speaking to mankind, and it's giving you the assurance, and it's giving you a conviction. And you know, faith is how we are saved. We're saved by faith. We come to know Christ by faith. That assurance. I'm walking, in darkness. One day, I go to church. I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And the next day, I'm a different human being. And I have an assurance. I have an assurance. And we ought, as believers, to walk around with that assurance and that conviction beating within us. That's normal. That's normal for us to expect that. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We are saved through faith. An assurance, a conviction. Why is it that I hold fast and will not let him go? It's because I'm convinced that what I'm holding on to is real. I can't explain it to someone. I mean, I could explain it and witness to them, but I was in a marketing group one time, and the subject came up, and they said, well, explain it. Explain your faith. Well, I believe. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It's in me. It's something there. It convinces me that it's the right path, and the assurance that it's the right path. Unfortunately, they didn't feel the witness on it, but the point is this. It's a conviction. We're saved by faith. And I want everyone, you know, here tonight to search your hearts. You know, have you got that assurance? It doesn't matter that you grew up in a Christian home. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, your uncle's a pastor, or you've got, you know, a missionary cousin, anything like that. It doesn't matter. You've got to have the assurance. You're not going to be able to hold fast unless there's an assurance inside and a conviction that what you're holding on to is real. Again, it wasn't just because I have internal fortitude and internal strength that I've been able to hold on to them for the last 40 years. It's because I've got that assurance. I've got that conviction. And every time I sit in my chair and he speaks to me, it revives. It refreshes. I don't want to actually say that every time I sit in the chair, God speaks to me. That's not my point. Sometimes I sit in the chair for a very long time, finish a couple of cups of coffee, and then I say, oh, better go to work now. Hopefully that's other people's experience. Otherwise, I just outed myself. But the point that I'm trying to drive home is this. If you want to be strengthened in your walk with the Lord, faith is key. And God gives faith to those, you know, that are born again. He gives faith. He gives an assurance. He gives a conviction. If you don't have that assurance and you don't have that conviction, I hope my words provoke you. Like, you know, the naysayers provoked me when I was younger and they said, yeah, I give it 6 months. It provoked me and I said, no, what I've got is real and I'm going to keep digging in. If you don't have that assurance and you don't have that conviction tonight, that's really where it all starts. That's really where it all starts. If you're going to be strengthened in your walk, then there needs to be that assurance and that conviction. But more importantly, you know, this week, God wants to give you that. God wants to impart that to you. I want everybody who leaves this week to have an assurance and a conviction that Jesus Christ died for their sins and that they are born again. That they are born again. Well, we kind of touched on this a little bit, but let's go through the details here. Where does faith come from? Where does faith come from? And how do I strengthen it? How do I increase my faith, right? That's what the disciples said. Lord, how do we increase our faith? Well, let's consider Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Much of the ministry that God has given to me over the course of the last couple of years, much of the ministry that God has given to me has revolved around God's people learning to hear God's voice. I am so burdened with that. So burdened with that. I believe that every one of God's people, every one of God's children, from young all the way up to adult, should have an expectation that God will speak to them. I think it is one of the more evil plots of the enemy to prevent God's people from believing that. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we say, you know, that faith is the assurance and the conviction that keeps us on course, that keeps us in the race. But where does faith come from? In verse 17, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as a pastor, let me give you a few ideas that I'm sure that many of you heard before, and yet let me reiterate them because they are critical to us hearing the voice of the Lord. You know, many times when I feel the well is a bit dry in my soul and in my spirit, and it's difficult for me to hear from God, my go-to, the very first thing I do before I even pray even, is this right here. That's my go-to. And I read, and you know, maybe I read and read and read, right? And it doesn't feel like anything's happening, but in actuality, this is God's word. Something is happening. And I guarantee you, because I've got 40 years of experience, I guarantee you eventually the heavens are going to crack and I'm going to hear something. I guarantee you. I can't guarantee it's going to be that day. I can't guarantee even it's going to be that week. In fact, one time it was a whole year before I heard God's word. I was whining and crying like a little baby. I do that well. My daughters will tell you, when I don't hear from God, everybody hears about it. Because I've got to hear from him. I've got to hear from him. I've got to have that assurance. I've got to have that conviction because I base my whole life on that. the decisions I make. I was out in California one time, beautiful state, love the state of California. My brother was out there, and he said, Frank, stay out here in California because there's jobs out here, there's things to do out here. You know, you could make a living out here, and you know, we would be together. All sounded very, very wonderful and grandiose. Just one problem. God wasn't there for me. He wasn't speaking to me there. He said, back to Erie. That's where I'll meet you. And so I got to went to my brother and tried to explain it to him. And, of course, when a person's not saved, it's a little difficult to get that message across. But nonetheless, got on the plane, came back to Erie, and, you know, God continued with the work of my life. But it's that hearing that we make decisions on, right? We base our decisions on those things. Now, I am completely aware of the fact that I've been doing this for 40 years, and some of the things that I'm saying to you folks are not going to be your initial experience. I'm aware of that. I'm totally aware of that. But it wasn't mine either. It wasn't my initial experience either. My initial experience, you know, the first time God ever spoke to me, he said one word. And that's all I heard for a very long time was one word. It happened to be no, by the way. Thank you, Lord. But what I am trying to set forth to you is this, that this is the way. And even though in the very beginning it may be a trickle, eventually it's going to be a stream. And yes, there will be times when God speaks a lot, and there'll be times when God is silent for a period of time. But again, it's all this idea of I'm holding to him and I will not let him go. And when it comes to hearing his voice, all you got to do is talk to Rebecca. I can whine like the best of them. I've got to hear him. I've got to hear his voice. I've got to hear his voice. I can't live without it. I'll be honest with you. I'm not strong enough to do this alone. I'm not. But there's something, folks, there's something that changes in the human spirit when God speaks. There's something that changes. There's a strength that comes. There's a grace that comes. There's a fortifying that comes. An understanding that comes. When people come and say, you're making a big mistake. You're doing the wrong thing, on and on and on. You have that assurance. You have that conviction. And somehow you say, I think it's going to work out. I think it's going to be all right. I packed up, family of five. My youngest was 9 months old and went off to Bible school. And my family all said, you're making a terrible mistake. How could you possibly do that to your children? But I got that faith. I got that witness. I've got that conviction. And it was unshakable. I appreciate your concern. Thank you very much. But we really feel so what God is doing. Oh, there goes Frank again. I think they said that probably more than I was aware of, but there's strength in that. There's strength in it. Listen, I want you guys to understand, there's nothing mysterious about what I'm saying here. This is for everyone who's a believer. Everyone who's born again. That's the first assurance and the first conviction is being born again. And it has nothing to do with lineage. It has nothing to do with heritage. You got to make the decision on your own. But it begins with that assurance and that conviction. And what does the scripture say? We live by the faith of the Son of God. We live by it. We live by it. If you want to see your walk strengthened, and I know you do, just judging on the prophecy we heard tonight, everybody has weaknesses. Everybody has them. Some of us may be further on the journey, but every one of us started out of the same clay. And the only thing to me that's made the difference throughout the years is the faith of the Son of God that's brought strength and grace into my life. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I will just say something very simple and very practical. Read your Bible. Read it every day. I'm not going to tell you that I read 10 chapters every day, okay? I would be lying if I told you that. But I will tell you this, that I read until I hear, or the clock on the wall says, Frank, time's up. Sometimes that's a couple hours. But the thing is this here, you know, we have to be in pursuit of it. Read the scriptures as though you're going to get something out of it. Now, I know there's Chronicles and there's Leviticus. There's all those in there too. You can read those fast. Actually, Leviticus is one of my favorite books in the whole Bible, actually. If you really get your head around Leviticus, I'm not going to give you an assignment to read Leviticus tonight, so don't. You can all read easy. But the point is, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And here it is, folks. This is it right here, man. Boom. This will fortify you. And then, you know, we have another activity, right, that's very practical, and it's prayer. Pray. Or in my case, whine. I'm not sure, you know, there's a fine line between when I'm praying and when I'm whining. Becky can tell you later. I'm going to refer to Becky a lot. She's gotten used to that over the years. She's been quoted all over the world. People go, oh, is this Becky you've talked about? But the thing is this here, prayer, right? You know what happens when you pray? I don't pray liturgical prayers, you know, King James type prayers. Thou, Lord, most high, sitting in the heavens above. No, it's something more along this line. God, you got to help me. I don't think I'm going to make it. And then the neighbors call the police saying somebody's getting killed next door. But now, the point that I'm making is this. Prayer doesn't have to be formal, right? It has to be effective. It's not necessarily formal. It has to be effective. And so I generally start off with a little bit of praise and say, Lord, you know, I'm not worthy. Rebecca and I, we try to get together every Monday and Thursday, wherever I'm at in the world. I call up and we try to start off by just thanking the Lord and saying, you know, Lord, you've been doing some good things. We've seen you answering prayers. We've seen you, you know, touching us in amazing ways and, you know, keeping us. And even the things that we suffer and struggle, who knows whether it's for the good or the bad. So we thank you for those as well. And then we begin to ask God, and they're very specific things. Lord, I need help in this area. There was something that God laid on Becky and I's heart about a year ago now, actually, maybe a little over a year. And he commissioned us to begin praying about it. And so over the period of time, we start off by saying, you know, is God speaking anything to you? You know, is God speaking anything to you? Yeah, he's speaking this and that. And then we keep a journal of, you know, what's going on. And we came to a realization after a period of time that we were knocking things off the list. This is done. This has been done. This has been done. And, you know, we make our requests known unto God. So prayer is another way. And in the midst of prayer, God many times speaks. Because, again, it's the idea of connection. It's not just a formal prayer, but it's the idea of connection. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. First of all, read your Bible, right? Second, pray. And in the midst of your prayer, be open for his response and what he speaks. Because he many times, you know, will quicken a verse or speak something into your life. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, turn there with me if you would. It's a very familiar verse to us, but I will connect this also to prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and in verse 7, it says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Prayer should be a time when you cry out to God for your needs and say, Lord, I have this conflict. I have this struggle. I need this breakthrough. You know, you cast all your cares on him. You cast all your cares on him. I used to love it, actually, you know, as a father of my little girls, when they would come into the house, they come in running into the house, and they have all these heavy burdens on their life, and they need daddy's help there. And as a father, you look down and go, yeah, I can take care of that. I can fix that. Well, God is our Heavenly Father, and he wants us to tell him about our scratched knees, about our busted knuckle, about the tree that we fell out of. And you understand, these are metaphors, right? Hopefully you're not doing that stuff. I am still, at 57 years old, I still am doing that stuff, but Lord have mercy. But cast your care on him. You know, oftentimes I find God speaking to the needs in my life as I'm lifting them to him, as I'm lifting them to heaven. Then God begins to speak, and faith is imparted. And I have a conviction, and I have an assurance, you know, that God is going to do something. And many times Rebecca and I testify to each other, God is absolutely going to do this. I have complete faith and witness that God is going to do this. And the presence of the Lord, you know, is a cherished and a wonderful thing. Many times, you know, the greatest presence of the Lord that we feel is, you know, in our time of prayer and lifting our cares to the Lord. It will strengthen you. It will strengthen you. Another way of hearing that faith is just what we did tonight. You know, I'm standing in the back of the sanctuary and we're worshiping the Lord, and God is speaking. God's speaking. And I feel the assurance and I feel the conviction that's coming in because God is speaking. And so strength, you know, we're talking about strengthening our walk. Faith is a critical part to strengthening our walk. And we all, you know, want to grab hold of this idea that God wants to give each one of us faith to strengthen us. You know, you might say to yourself, well, what am I even going to ask the Lord? What am I going to ask him faith for? I mean, you know, well, how about the struggles that you're facing? You know, I remember one time I was driving on a bridge. And I was driving across this bridge, and I'm a young guy, 18, 19, 20 years old, and I'm crying out to the Lord, pouring out my heart before Jesus, and all of a sudden, in the midst of it all, God speaks to me. He speaks something to me, and it's so powerful that I have to pull the car over because I'm weeping because God is speaking, and he gives me a promise and says, this very thing that you're crying out about, it is going to be broken. It's going to be broken. As I was crying out in prayer, and I pull off to the side of the road, and I jotted it down. And over the years, you know, I've got it underlined in my Bible, and many times I go back to the Lord and I say, thank you so much for that promise. I appreciate that you did that. But Lord, there's still further to go. There's still more to go. There's still more Adam there. And he's got to go. Well, fast forward now to last year. Last year, I'm driving in Erie. I hit that bridge, and I go over the bridge, and the Holy Spirit says to me, do you remember what I told you when you crossed this bridge some years ago? It's still in force. And you know what? The conviction still burns in me. The assurance still burns in me. And while much of the work has already been done, there's still more yet to do. And God is saying, do you remember? Because he did. He remembered. He remembered. And as he spoke that to me, I'm weeping again. And I'm pulling off to the side of the road. And I'm saying, oh God, your promises are faithful and true. So as you pray to God, pray concerning the weakness. Pray concerning the struggle that you have. Maybe you're having a difficult time making a decision. Pray about it. Hear from God on it. Get that assurance. And get that conviction. And the last thing that I want to do, and anything that I say to you tonight, is to give anybody the feeling that this is unattainable, that this is unapproachable. This is not even the deep things of God. This is foundational. This is fundamental. God wants to speak. And when you look in the scriptures at all the people God spoke to, they weren't the most spiritual people. That makes me feel good. I feel like, hey, you spoke to Balaam. How come you can't speak to me? That was actually a joke. I know it went over bad, but. But all the unspiritual people that God spoke to, I'm not saying you're unspiritual, but I feel sometimes unspiritual, and I feel like God doesn't want to speak to me. I've been a failure this week. Oh, yes, he does. Becky will tell you, I've said this to her, I'm quoting her extensively, but I've said to her over the years, do you know something? Some of the most profound things God has ever spoken to me in my life, bar none, have been after failures. After failures. When I felt as though I completely blew it and missed God, I weep. I sit in my chair and I weep and I go, how can you be speaking to me now? So don't let that be an impediment. Don't let that be a hindrance. Get back, get restored, and get the word. Hear that assurance. Hear that conviction. The most profound things, powerful things, life-changing things God has ever spoken to me in my life have been after bad decisions and failures. So it's not a matter of spirituality. Truth be known, you know, as I sit in my high-back chair and feel spiritual, yes, well, I'm ready, Lord, anytime you are. It's going to be cold. It's going to be silent. Because there is something about a broken heart that draws God's presence. Something about a broken heart that draws his presence. I don't know that I fully understand it. I just know it's true. And as I weep and as I break before the Lord and say, oh God, please forgive me. Some of the most profound things, life-changing things, even promises. One time God gave me a nation, the promise for a nation, and I said, oh God, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure, Lord, that I'm worth that? Are you sure that I'm worth that? But then that, there's no denying that assurance. There's no denying that conviction. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And you know something? Faith is not benign. Faith is not impotent. Faith is not a negative, a neutral. Faith is positive. And every time God speaks something to you, it has an intent. There's something that God is building in you. There's something that God is doing in you every time he speaks. And so I get up in the morning, get a fresh cup of coffee because there's something spiritual about coffee. That too was a joke. I think it's right, but I don't know. I'm going to wait for an amen on that one. But I get out to my high back chair and I'm excited. I want everybody in God's kingdom to be excited about that. Not that I'm in my chair, but that you have your own place. I don't expect you to be excited I'm in my chair, but except if I'm getting a message for here. I want you to be excited about hearing God's voice. I don't want any of you to feel like you let God down. Your weaknesses are too great. It can happen to them, but it can't happen to me. That's all a lie. And it really is irrelevant. It really has nothing to do with it. It really doesn't. It really, really doesn't. If you had saw me when I first started walking in this race, you'd realize. In fact, I think, I'll give Paul the honorable mention here. I think his grandparents probably wondered if I was going to make it. Pastor Dan and Sister Jane. They would never confess that to me, I know, but I often wondered if they thought I would even make it. So it hasn't been because of talent or skill. It hasn't been because of my own efforts in any way, shape, or form. It was simply because something in me said, I'm going to hold on to him and I'm not going to let him go. You will have to kill me to get me out of this race. Now, I'm not trying to speak foolishly here. I'm just simply saying I'm holding on with both hands. And I'm not letting go. That song tonight that we sang, it moved me. It really did. It moved me. Daniel, Brother Daniel, he asked me if I had any particular songs that I wanted him to lead tonight. And I said, just be led by the Spirit. That's what, you know, when you're acting spiritual, that's what you say. No, just be led by the Spirit, brother. And he was. He was, because when that song came up, my spiritual senses just went wild. And I really, at that moment, you know, received the anointing for what we were going to share tonight. Hold fast to him and do not let him go. Don't let him go. You know, the world is awful shiny. And sometimes it could be difficult to know how to make the right choice. That's a great time to seek him. That's a great time to cry out to him. So, faith will grow in you. And faith will help you to get over some of the mountains that are in your life. I know that way back in the very beginning, I wasn't sure how I was going to overcome certain things. And yet now they're historical. Not because of guts and gristle or strength of my own, but because the Holy Spirit somehow imparted grace through faith and strengthened me for the journey. That's basically what I have for tonight. But you know what? As we were going through the message tonight, I just want to make sure. I want to not necessarily, I don't necessarily feel to do an altar call tonight, although I understand you folks are very fond of that. But I'd like if Daniel could come and just lead us in that chorus again, that same chorus. And as we're singing the song, I'm going to turn it over to Daniel and the counselors, but I just want to ask this one single question. As we're singing this song, do you even know him? Have we started the journey? Have we all started the journey? I think the Christian life is the most exciting life there is. I lived the other life for 17 years, and it chewed me up and spit me out. I want no more of that. The Christian life is a very exciting life. Faith is exciting. Faith is thrilling. When God speaks to you about what his plan is for your life, oh, it's thrilling. It's thrilling. And I want to push out everything from my life that would interfere with that. I don't want anything to do with it because faith is thrilling. And so if Daniel could come and Pastor Dan, however you want to lead from this point, I'm just going to basically turn the service over. But I would like there to be some sort of an appeal for salvation and some sort of response. Whether that merits an altar call or not, I don't know. But Brother Dan.